in honor of Oscar month, I'm going to drink this Heineken.
Right.
Because while, so we're not going to talk, well, that's not true. We are going to talk about the Barbie movie, but we're not going to specifically have an episode dedicated to the Barbie movie.
Correct.
During this season. But I went to Safeway the other day, and I was wearing my I Am Knuff rainbow sweatshirt.
As I do
on Fridays.
that's your casual Friday attire.
Yep. And so I noticed that when I wear that sweatshirt, more people talk to me and make comments and are just in general friendlier towards me, right?
Yeah.
There's just something about that shirt that is like, hey, it's okay for you to talk to me, right?
You're blending out with that shirt.
Yeah. So I go through the checkout line, and the guy at the station there, he's like, He goes, hey, I really like your shirt, man. It's funny to call him a cashier when we don't do cash anymore, right?
Well, fair. Yeah. We also call it on tape when we haven't taped anything in I don't know how long.
Right. So I'm like, thanks. And I'm asking him how his day is going. He's telling me it's fine. And as he's like sliding my groceries to me and I'm putting them back in the cart, there's this case of Heineken sitting at the end of the counter, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he looks at me and he goes, hey, would you drink that Heineken? And I was like, you mean like right now or like take it home? And he goes, no, do you want it? And I was like, is it free? And he goes, yeah, some guy who was here earlier brought all his groceries in and he was trying to pay with cash. And he didn't have enough money. So he just left that there. And I tried to tell him he could just pay me whatever he wanted for it because I'd already voided it out. But he didn't speak English and he left. And he goes, so I don't want to have to walk it all the way back to the cooler. So you should just take it. So I did. And in honor of my Barbie shirt for Oscar week, I'm going to drink one of my free Heinekens.
Hey, a free beer tastes good.
We watched a movie that was nominated for the best picture of 2023. It was The Holdovers. The comedy sensation of 2023, The Holdovers.
This other podcast I listened to. I spoke with Bill about this and we made jokes about how these guys said how funny the movie was, and I trust their opinions. That same day, I listened to another episode when they spoke of The Holdovers, and the host of that show said The Holdovers is a modern masterpiece movie, and it's so good and so funny.
Hmm. And we will get into it after Rick's trivia.
Yeah. All right. Let's see if we can do it before break time, guys.
Yeah. I doubt it.
All right.
Hit that music.
Okay, we're playing. What do we play to on this one?
15, usually.
Usually 15.
15. Bill, who is the star? This is worth up to 2 points for you.
I thought Ryan got to guess set the points.
He does, but this is a two-part question, so he can score both of them.
Okay.
Who is the male lead and what is his name in the movie True Romance?
Do you want the actor and the name of the character?
Correct.
I'm going to go 3-3.
You don't think he's going to know the actor's name? Okay.
It's not Brad Pitt. He's the guy on the couch. And this is the one that Ryan thinks is romancing the stone, which is probably why he wouldn't think that I knew the actor. But the actor's guy with the squid.
He thinks it's The Long Kiss Goodnight.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Okay, that's right. It's the guy with the squinty eyes, right? He always scrunches up his face. Christian Slater.
Okay, what was his name?
Good pull, Bill. Good pull.
His name was Bradley.
No, his name was Clarence.
Okay.
All right, so three.
We're tied at six.
Yeah, no, you're tied at 3-3.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, we're tied
at
six.
Not by my math.
Yeah, right? Oh, yeah, I get it.
Thanks.
Yeah, no problem. Bill, what was Goldie Hawn's name in Overboard?
Three.
Clarence.
Nope. Annie.
Okay, I had no idea.
All right. Bill.
6-3.
On IMDb, who is the first actor listed in the movie Caddyshack?
Three as well.
Chevy Chase.
Correct.
Ah.
Bill, within three, what score in degrees did you give Tombstone?
Within three, plus or minus?
Yes.
Is that what we do this?
Yep.
Tombstone? Three. Who cares?
Was Tombstone the one with sweaty Doc Holliday?
That's my next question.
Oh, sorry. I'm going to say I gave it a 44.
Incorrect. You gave it a 71.
Oh, okay. Nice.
All right, Bill.
Apparently I like that one.
According to IMDb, who is the number one billed actor or actress in Ghostbusters?
Two.
Bill Murray.
Correct.
Still in the lead by 1 point.
Is it 8-9?
Yes.
Bill, within five, what degrees did you give Escape from New York?
Ooh, three.
66.
Ooh, incorrect. 77.
Ooh, close.
But at least you had I wouldn't call it an alliteration, but maybe a numeration.
Sure.
Bill, what is Kurt Russell's name in Escape from New York? First and last.
One. Can I get a steal on this?
I'll give you 1 point after if he doesn't get it right.
Snake Jones?
Oh, Ryan, what was it?
Snake Plissken.
Nailed it.
Oh, bonus point.
Glad I said first and last.
Oh, man.
All right. What's the score, Ryan?
13-8.
Bill, within 5 points, what did you give 40-year-old Virgin?
One.
39.
Ooh, 33.
So I was six away. Yep. And he said within five. Uh-huh. Nice.
What's the score?
14.
All right.
To 8.
Okay. Bill, according to IMDb, who is the top billed cast member of the movie Best of Times?
Three.
Did we watch a movie called Best of Times?
Yes. And I'm going to give you a clue. You gave it
What was it about?
You gave it an
8. I don't remember ever watching a movie called Best of Times.
You gave it an 8.6.
I must have hated it. Yeah.
I'm going to give you another clue here. It was about football.
Oh.
Damn it, Rick.
That was... So the top billed person was either... That must have been during Kurt Russell month, right?
Yes.
That was Rick's like weird movie. I'm going to go with Robin Williams.
Oh, correct.
Oh.
I thought he wasn't going to be able to suss that one out.
14-11. I went for a different strategy there. Did not pay off.
It was super dumb.
Yeah.
Bill, who was the top billed cast member in Full Metal Jacket?
One.
Right, that's the smart thing to bet no matter what. So why'd you say it like that?
Because I'm disappointed that I can only bet one.
Why?
I don't know. I like.
Okay.
I challenge Ryan to answer this question.
Ooh, he does get one challenge.
the number one billed actor in Full Metal Jacket.
Top billed actor, according to IMDb. Which usually bases on, it can base on popularity also.
Right, the, popularity, yeah.
Sometimes.
And usually based off of current popularity,
yeah,
not
right.
at the time, yeah.
Right. Harley sometimes. Army.
Oh, no, he was number two. Number one, Matthew Modine.
Really?
Whatever, I'm making a comeback. It's 14-12 now.
Bill, according to IMDb, who is the top billed actor in the movie Airheads?
One.
Brendan Fraser.
Correct.
Look at this comeback.
Bill.
So much skill.
Who is the number two billed actor in Airheads?
Oh, that sucks. Now you're being an ass.
No, one. I'm not.
In Airheads. One.
You know the first one.
Right. That's probably not Joe Montana.
No, because he's not in it.
It's not Joe Montana.
Yeah, he's the DJ.
Joe Montana?
Joe Montana.
Whatever. That's my Canadian coming through.
I'll tell you this. Joe Montana is billed behind Michael Richards. Mm-hmm. Which is real... It took me a long time to find him.
Was Adam Sandler in that movie?
Yes.
I'm going to say Adam Sandler.
Incorrect. Steve Buscemi.
Okay.
Yeah. Ryan wins trivia.
You know what?
But it was a lot closer than you wanted. You were sweating your balls off there.
A little bit.
Do you know what I think
strategical
is,
error.
Do you know what I think is fun about this IMDb thing, though? The top four people in Airheads is Brendan Fraser, Steve Buscemi, Adam Sandler. And who do you think the fourth one is?
Michael McKean.
Okay.
Chris Farley.
Yeah, it's Chris Farley, yeah. who is barely in the movie
right,
at
right,
all. Right. He beats Judd Nelson. I don't know, it's crazy. All right, well, so speaking of Airheads and Academy Award winner Brendan Fraser.
The Holdovers.
We watched The Holdovers.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to pee really bad, so you guys can start talking about it.
That's what breaks are for, Rick.
Yeah, and you made me take one at the wrong time. I was on a roll with trivia.
I didn't have to pee 30 seconds ago, and I have to pee now.
He has to pee every 30 seconds. How is it possible he didn't have to pee 30 seconds ago?
I think if he was really committed to the podcast, he'd have a piss jar.
Yeah, a chamber pot.
Yes. The Holdovers. Did you have any idea what this movie was about? Did you hear anything about this?
No idea. I had heard nothing. There's always one or two Best Picture nominees that you're like, I didn't know this was in theaters. No one ever talked about it. It was like independent film festival and then got some buzz, right? Which is right. This must have had a very limited release.
Yeah, I've got it up here. Let me find it. I may not even have stats on it yet because it's so new.
So it must have come over out right at the end of 2023 too, huh?
October 29th, 2023, opening weekend. Okay. It made $200,000.
Yeah, nice.
Gross worldwide, $43 million.
Okay, Rick.
What?
Set the line. How much did this movie make gross opening weekend?
Well, it's...
U.S. and Canada.
I don't know, like $3 million.
$200,000.
Yeah, but that's okay. But that's for a lot of reasons. Like,
I know.
It was probably on, well, it was probably on limited screens.
Right, right.
They only put these movies out.
It was probably only on your iPad and at Cannes Film Festival or whatever.
Well, no, you have to, so to qualify for an Oscar nomination, you have to be on a certain amount of screens for a certain amount of time.
That can't be true because didn't Coda get nominated and it was a direct to Apple TV thing?
They still bring it to the theaters and show it. So it has to have a theater presence. And Coda maybe was weird because of COVID.
They
Not
do,
the movie okay. COVID. But they do, yeah. They do put them out as...
That's coming for Oscars 2025 movie COVID.
Right.
Yeah. No, that movie is going to be called Paxlovid.
TM.
Anyway, so yeah, I mean, box office, and you know what? It doesn't matter. Box office for Oscar movies doesn't usually matter.
I know, but that was our point. Our point was just that you have a tiny girl bladder, and that
I'm drinking carbonated water.
That this is what
pushes
this
it out.
This is one of those movies that you never hear about, and no one would ever have seen if it wasn't nominated.
Yeah, maybe. So,
did you hear about this movie before it was nominated for Best Picture?
No, but I don't pay attention to movies like I used to. No, I didn't. I agree. Yeah. No, and that's how, I mean, actually, so I watched, was there 10 nominees this year?
I don't know. Something like that.
I watched 7 or 8 of the Best Picture nominees this year. I watched almost all of them. That I watched everything that I could watch without going to a theater to see them.
So
because I'm not going to sit in a movie theater for 3 hours to watch a movie that's an Oscar movie.
Yeah.
Just because it's an Oscar movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the nominations were for Poor Things, Zone of Interest, Anatomy of a Fall, American Fiction, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Barbie, Killers of the Flower Moon, Past Lives, and The Holdovers.
I saw all of the, okay, I didn't see American Fiction, Zone of Interest, and I shut Maestro off 40 minutes in.
All right.
I saw everything else. And the reason I shut Maestro off is because I was so Oscar'd out. Every Oscar movie is just like, it's so Oscar-y. Like
that's a great way to kick off our Oscar series, Rick.
I know, I think so.
Hey guys, welcome to the next month and a half about Oscar movies. I am so Oscar'd out because of how much they suck.
You know what would have been fun for me is if I had been able to sit down and watch all the Oscar movies, but halfway through, like if I had not seen any of them. Mm-hmm. I got to watch Barbie.
Mm.
Okay, yeah.
It might have helped, but no.
Cleanse
instead, I had
your
to watch.
Palette.
Yeah, my palate was like really rough. So yeah.
Okay, of the 10 that were nominated for Best Picture, if that was 10, I don't know, I didn't count. Of those 10, the only one I had seen prior to watching them for the podcast was Barbie.
Okay, mine too. But I really wanted to see Oppenheimer. When Barbie came out, I wanted to see them both, but I didn't want to go to the theater for that long.
Yeah.
And then by day 1.5, I heard that it wasn't worth it.
Yeah.
Right? It wasn't worth the 3 hours.
Yeah. The juice wasn't worth the squeeze, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Right. Sure. Sure.
But so anyway, so I had, and then Flowers Moon came out. And I also had heard it's a snooze fest.
Mm-hmm. And that one was direct to streaming too, right?
No, that came out of the theater. And then it came to Apple recently. Okay. But I buckled down. It took me 4 days to watch Oppenheimer. I watched Flower Moon, I think in a day or maybe day and a half.
Well, we'll get into those when we actually are talking about them. How long did it take you to watch Holdovers?
2 days. Maybe 3, 2.5. Let's just bring it. Let's just get to the meat of this.
I watched this movie in 2 halves.
Okay.
I watched it in 1 sitting.
Okay.
Did
you kill yourself afterwards?
No.
Did you laugh?
A couple of times.
I think I laughed one time.
I laughed once. And it was at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the thing is about watching this movie is this is the kind of movie that Bill already doesn't like. Right? Like it's
This is Sideways in the Winter.
It's kind of Which
and the 70s.
Now, Bill, do you know why that's a funny comment?
Because it's Paul Giamatti.
Well, it's Alexander Payne.
It's Paul Giamatti being a whiny little bitch.
But it's Alexander Payne, the guy who directed Sideways, also made this. So it's,
Did not know that.
Yeah, this is a Sideways.
It sure reminded me of it.
Right. Have you ever seen Election?
That tracks. No.
Okay.
But if it's the same guy and it has the same feel, I pass.
No, it's Matthew Broderick, and it doesn't matter. So
You know, what's interesting about Paul Giamatti is I believe that he's a good actor. I just don't like watching him act in anything.
Well, he's always Paul Giamatti, right? Mm-hmm. He's not the kind of guy. Like, I agree. He's a good actor. I like him a lot. I actually like him. But I never am like, who's that guy? Like, oh, this is a Paul Giamatti role. You need to watch.
He doesn't disappear into roles ever.
Hey,
he's
Ryan.
He's no Gary what's-his-face.
Yeah.
You know who I'm talking about.
Gary
Oldman. Oldman.
No, Gary Oldman.
Yeah.
Who I can watch a movie or a show and not know that it's Gary Oldman until someone tells me that, like, that was also Gary Oldman.
Like True Romance. Like, that we talked about in this episode. Yeah.
Yes. Right.
What's a Drexel?
For sure.
Yeah.
That he can be, he can be in Batman and he can be in Slow Horses and he can be in Darkest Hour and he can be in True Romance. And you're just like, how is that the same guy in all of these?
Bill, have you ever seen The Professional?
Ooh,
I don't think so.
Oh, hey, Ryan, I need you to put on the list The Professional. And
it might already be on the list, but.
And Private Parts.
Okay.
We should watch Private Parts.
The Professional is already on the list.
Okay.
The list that no one ever looks at because they can't remember the password.
Right.
Well, no, it's just Rick says to put everything on the list, but then the day of, he's always like, oh, we're going to watch this movie next. And it's something totally different.
It happens. I'm going to just put my cards on the table here. I did not like this movie. Yeah. There was nothing about it was for me.
This movie felt like, what if we remade Dead Poets Society, only there's only one kid and Robin Williams sucks?
Yeah. I mean, like, I liked the girl. So the lady that plays
the cook.
The cook.
Yeah, the one that won. She won the Academy Award.
Did she? For Best Supporting Actress?
Yes. And she did a good job.
Divine Joy Randolph.
Right.
To give her credit.
And Paul Giamatti.
Her name is Divine Joy.
Yes. Yeah.
Paul Giamatti was, I think, the odds on favorite to win Best Actor. He did not. He did not win.
Did not win.
Who won?
Cillian Murphy.
For Oppenheimer?
Yeah.
Yep.
Oppenheimer won pretty much everything.
Okay. That's so dumb.
Well, I mean, okay. Who was
it's
better?
Very Oscars. No,
I get that it was a very Oscar-y movie, but what did he do performance-wise that was great in that role?
You know, he stared
at the
camera
a lot.
We're
talking about the holdovers. We'll have time to talk about it when we do the Oppenheimer episode.
My favorite part of the holdovers, because I want to give one.
I didn't know that the Oscars had already happened. Rick had to tell me that today.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm glad you brought. I'm glad you brought this up. This is a topic which you didn't even watch the Oscars or pay attention to what was in them, and they made us watch all these movies.
Well, so, I think it's fun to watch the ones that people are saying are nominated for Best Picture.
Wasn't it fun to watch the holdovers?
No, you know what?
How about Oppenheimer? Super fun.
No, you know what? Last year, when we watched Banshees of Inisherin and Everything Everywhere All at Once, that was fun.
Sure, right. Well, and this is like, okay, and this Oscars season is just the exact opposite of that.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's opposite Heimer.
That's exactly what the host of the other show was talking about, the holdovers, when he said this is a masterpiece. He's like, it's the exact opposite of Everything Everywhere All at Once, which he also loved, but he's like, this is just the exact opposite of that.
Right, which is nothing, nowhere, ever.
Right, yeah.
Which is what this movie felt like.
Yeah. I just don't care enough about, like, rich kids and...
But there was no meaningful arc to this story. That's my problem with it. Like, we've seen this story too many times for them to tell it with no benefit, no surprise, no extra twist or meaning or nuance or anything, right?
Well, here's the thing, though. And so,
is this based on a true story? Why did this take place in olden days?
I don't know. Here's the problem that I'm having in general with Oscar movies is that when I watch them and I hear people talk about how great these are, I give these movies the benefit of the doubt that maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah.
And not liking them. Because why? Right. Why this was just...
You should generally go through life with that mentality.
Right. I'll tell you my favorite part of Holdovers. And so I had to have one good part, right? My favorite part was during
when he tells the headmaster that he's the human form of penis cancer?
No. It was during the...
Because that was my favorite part.
It was during the Oscars when they had Oscar winners previously come out. They had like five of them or so, and they all came out and talked about each movie. So this was the best actor ones. And Nicolas Cage came out and got to speak to about Paul Giamatti and said he got to wear, he wore a soft contact lens in one eye which made him blind in one eye during the filming of this movie. He's like, that's commitment. He's like, would I have done that? Hell yes, I would have. But also he did. Because it's Nick Cage. Best part of the Holdovers, for sure.
So was your Nick favorite Cage. Part of the movie was something not about the movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I didn't... Here's the thing about this movie. I didn't go through it hating it. I wasn't, like, annoyed. I just was like, I was just bored.
It's bored. Yeah. It was boring.
I was just bored the whole time.
It was boring and sad.
Right, the whole thing where like resolves war. To, yeah, makes
it's more boring than war.
Right,
it's just like makes Cold sad. War.
Right,
with less interesting.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, with no war games to take place.
Right,
right.
Bill, have you seen war games?
No.
War games. Things I liked about this movie. I liked when they went to Boston. Like, that part of it was my favorite part of the movie. I didn't think it was that great.
When they became friends?
Well, when they were, like, having some hijinks and having to, like, get each other out of scraps. And, like, you know, there was less of the, like, Paul Giamatti just being a blowhard asshole and the kid being a punk, you know. There was a little bit more of, they were on an even, more even playing field.
Why? 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 Do you start this movie with a Breakfast Club vibe of, oh, it's going to be about these five kids and how they have to bond together over holdover. And then in scene three, four of them leave on a helicopter to go skiing. And now it's about Paul Giamatti and this one other kid.
Why is the title even pluralized?
Because Paul Giamatti is a holdover.
He's a holdover?
Yeah.
Okay, sure he is.
And so is the cook. No, that's it's so weird to be like, we're going to start this story where I was actually interested. And then you took out, like, I'm not saying I liked any of these other kids or their characters, right?
Right.
They weren't developed or anything. But it was like, okay, maybe this is going to go somewhere and there's going to be layers to this thing. But there were no layers. This was not a layer cake. This was a flan.
Check out, I forgot what it's called. It's in Portland. It's the hair place. Man, they've been sponsoring us for 2 years. What's it called? It's called Hairpin Salon. That's what it's called. Yeah, check out Hairpin Salon in Portland. Google it.
Besides the end of the movie, does any character that... And does Paul Giamatti or this kid have any redeeming qualities that seem interesting at all?
No.
No.
You know, like, I mean, I get Paul Giamatti's, like, idea of what he's doing, but it just, who cares?
In the strictest Shakespearean sense, because none of the characters die, technically, this would be considered a comedy.
Right. Well, and according to the world, apparently.
Yeah, they're attempting to make jokes. They're just not funny.
But it's hard to go, we're going to Because jokes are only funny if they happen within the premise of the storyline, right? When you take a movie and you try and make jokes outside of the premise, it just feels campy or it just feels ridiculous, okay. Right?
Yeah.
The best jokes in a comedy happen within the premise of the storyline. And the premise of the storyline is this kid's stepdad hates him. His mom's too upset about her ex-husband to want to see him anymore. His dad's in a mental institution. Paul Giamatti is shame-filled and scorned and bitter. And the cook is devastated because her husband and son are dead.
Okay. On
hard to make a lot of jokes inside of that.
On IMDb, the first three, the only three that you can see without expanding genres of this movie is holiday comedy, comedy, drama, in that order.
Yeah, then, it's a festive romp and then, in the woods.
And then here's the little quick synopsis. A cranky history teacher at a prep school is forced to remain on campus over the holidays with a grieving cook and a troubled student who has no place to go. And that seems,
that again. That makes it sound like there's four characters in this movie.
A cranky history teacher at a prep school is forced to remain on campus. Yeah. But like, so the thing is, though, I don't think, Ryan, when you sit there trying to make jokes that don't land, I don't think that's what happens. I think that it's just this like sardonic wit that doesn't work for me. Like, I think these, I didn't see jokes, you know, like people that I'm not going to say if I am one or am not one, but people that think that The Big Lebowski is the funniest movie they've ever seen are interesting people to me. I think Big Lebowski is funny, but if you're not the person that likes there's jokes in there that you either think are funny or there's jokes that you just think aren't funny. Right.
In that, but you know what the difference is?
You know, they're jokes.
They're jokes.
Right.
Yeah.
But in Holdovers, you don't like, okay. The scene when that like sex worker is like propositioning him to go have sex with her. Right. Mm-hmm. That's like a funny scene for in a comedy, but that felt out of place to me and was weird. And I get right. So I understand the levity there. And when they were bowling was kind of funny, you know,
yeah.
There's some little stuff, but the whole movie is just such a bummer that I don't find it funny.
There was
fucking Merlot moment.
Right.
I was confused by the bowling scene.
Okay.
Because they're holding 5-pin bowling balls and they're bowling for 10 pins.
Well, it's candle pin bowling.
Yeah.
I think is what it's called. And I think, I forget how that whole thing works. I've never done it, but it must be a Boston thing.
Yeah.
I've done 5-pin bowling. It's big in Canada.
Yeah. This is a Northeast thing. And candle pin is, by definition, the pins are on strings. So they like pull them up and reset them instead of being like freestanding. And I'm not an expert, so don't quote me on this, but I think that is a 12-pin game.
Interesting. Okay. I don't care. That's about as interesting as the movie, and I still don't care.
Candlepin bowling is a variation of bowling that's played primarily in the Canadian Maritime Provinces and New England.
So it's Eastern Canada.
Narrow pins resemble candles, hence the name.
Cool. Well, was more interesting than the Holdovers.
Yeah. Did you guys tell the listeners that we're doing Oscar month and none of this counts for the climometer 50% or better?
We did. And I think we've held them over long enough on this episode. Yeah. So let's try to get to the climometer.
Let's get to the climometer.
Dora.
Bill, what do you give this movie?
I think it sucks.
Okay.
What did you think of this movie?
Oh, like I probably give like a 20.
Yeah.
Got 36.
I gave it a 30.
Yeah. You know, it's like well acted. It is what it is. It's just a movie that's not made for me.
What was your score, Rick?
Let's say 20.
Yeah, it just it wasn't good enough for what it was trying to be.
Yeah. This is what happens with movies like this happens with Wes Anderson movies to me also.
I like Wes Anderson movies, or at least some of the ones I've seen.
I could see that about you. And yeah. and you know what? And that's okay. There's a certain kind of person that like I like three Wes Anderson movies out of 10 or 12, you know what I mean? Like they're all trying too hard, but people that are into it can love it, and that's okay. And it's not.
I didn't get that vibe with this one, though.
No, I think Alexander Payne movies have this. It's like, no, I was just saying this. I feel like someone out there, someone in their home or the movie theater, were like cracking their ass up at this movie somehow, and I don't know where or why, but there had to have been one.
Like, yeah, maybe
they just every time they saw his eye move, they thought it was funny. Maybe.
Right.
Hey, if that's you, drop us a line at miseducationbill@gmail.com.
Yes, please. Please do.
So of the movies on my list that were Oscar nominees, this is the lowest scored movie by all three of us.
Okay.
Banshees of Inisherin. I gave it a 32, Rick gave it a 40, and Bill gave it an 81.
I loved that movie. I thought that movie was hilarious.
That's interesting because you say that, like, I gave it a 40.
I think you may have rewatched it later and realized how funny it was.
That movie has grown on me over the year because
right.
I think back on it pretty fondly.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
This also was early on in me taking records, so take that with a grain of salt.
I think I've seen that movie three times now, and each time I watch it, it gets funnier. Maybe that would happen with Holdovers, but we'll never know.
No, I'm never going to do it again. I'll tell you that at a sneak preview of this month, I don't think I'm going to watch very many of these movies ever again. Probably none of them.
Mm-hmm.
Except Barbie, which we won't review in an episode.
Right.
Apparently. So.
All right,
Ryan, did you see Barbie, Ryan?
I have not seen it.
Okay, I figured.
It's
worth watching.
You know what's worth watching? Speaking of the Oscars, did you watch Ryan Gosling perform? It was very good. He performed it live at the Oscars with Slash playing guitar. It's good, Bill. You should probably check it out.
I'll look it up. Yeah. It's probably worth a Google.
That was the highlight of the Oscars. They said that people are saying that changed the Oscars vibe and it's going to be better from now on. Because it was such a good
movie. That healed the Oscars.
Yeah.
No, I'm not averse to watching Barbie. I am interested in it, especially some of the more nuanced opinions I've heard of it. Not just the, oh my God, it's a Barbie movie. But it was one of those things where I just don't go watch movies in a theater and I haven't had a streaming opportunity for it yet. So.
Okay, cool.
All right,
we'll see you guys next week when we watch. What are we watching next
Oppenheimer.
Week?
Oppenheimer. We'll do Oppenheimer next.
Oppenheimer. All right.
Well, I think it about wraps it up for this week. I really want to thank all of the listeners out there. We really do appreciate you. Please take a minute to check out our socials. We are on Instagram at @miseducationofbill. We are on Twitter at @miseducationofbill. And please, please email us at miseducationofbill@gmail.com. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and like us on all of your favorite podcast apps. You can find us on all of the major apps, Spotify, Apple Music, and anywhere else you can find your podcasts. A special thanks goes out to Wyatt Only and The Wreckage for letting us use their music on the podcast. You can find them on Spotify and at woatw.com.
Okay, talk bye. At you later. Bye.
guillotine. So pour another drink.